Amen. Thank you, brother.
All right. So last week, I think we got to verse 8, if I'm not mistaken, Habakkuk 2:8. We talked about the three different groups. I'll put them up here on the side here. We talked about the martyred group. We're talking about in the tribulation. You have those that are martyred. You have those that are raptured. Well, you got the remnant. And then you have those that are raptured. It's a post-tribulation rapture of tribulation saints. All right, you got the 144,000 Jewish virgins that you'll see go up in Revelation 14. So you've got these three different groups, but we're going to be talking about this remnant right here, a little bit more detail. If you look at verse 8, he says, because thou hast spoiled. Now, who's he talking about here in the context? Well, doctrinally and prophetically, we're talking about the Antichrist. Okay, we went through that pretty in depth last time. So he says, because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee because of men's blood, for the violence of the land and of the city and all that dwell therein. Okay, so he's gathered all the nations. Look at verse 2:5. But gathereth unto him all nations. So that's what's going to take place at the end of the second, or the right before the second advent. He's going to gather all the nations, and he's going to, and actually it's going to be the Lord that gathers those nations, but through the Antichrist, and he's going to step on those nations. Okay, that's Zephaniah 3:8. Okay, so those things are going to come to pass, but he uses the Antichrist as a weapon, as a tool, if you will, and he uses him to do those things. But he says here, because thou hast spoiled many nations. Now, this is something for you to take from this thing. He said, look at Colossians 2:8. Let's go back to the New Testament. This is a principle laid down, but you notice how the Antichrist, what he does here. Colossians 2:8, Paul warns you of some things here. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Okay? So you're going to have one who is an eloquent speaker. He's going to show up. He's going to be a politician. Okay, we'll go to Daniel 9 here in a moment. But he's going to be speaking things of the world. Look at John 5. Look at John 5 and see what the Lord says over here. John chapter 5. Look at verse 39. We'll start there. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. And the world's going to receive the Antichrist, because he's going to speak of things of the world. Look at John 17. Look at John 17 and what we actually understand as to be the Lord's Prayer here. Look at John 17. He's going to talk about a certain character. Look at verse 12. Well, this goes back to what Barry was talking about. Brother Barry was talking about Wednesday night. Look at verse 11. Now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I am come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, and they may be one as we are. So who's the Holy Father? Obviously the Lord God Almighty, not the Pope. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And then none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Notice this, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So, guess what? If you're a Christian, you're not going to be using worldly conversation to win over people like a politician. You're going to have the rivers of living water flowing out of your belly, which is the word of God. So you can see the contrast. So this person that comes in is going to spoil many nations, because what's the Greek seek after? Wisdom, right? So the Greek, the Gentile, seeks after wisdom, but worldly wisdom, right? That's foolishness to God. And the Jew seeks after a what? Sign, right? So that Antichrist, when he shows up, he's going to be a worldly man. He's going to use worldly wisdom to deceive the world, and he's also going to use signs, wonders, and miracles to deceive that Jew. Okay, you see how he's got both bases covered? And if you don't know that word, you can be deceived. Not us as the church, but these people that are going to go into this time period, okay? Look at Matthew 24. This is how great that deception is going to be. Look at Matthew 24 just very quickly. Look at 24:24. For there shall arise false Christs, notice the multiple, and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. If it were possible. It's not possible, but that's how great that deception is going to be at that time period. Okay? There's going to be those that are sealed with their Father's name in their forehead. They have protection, but even it's such a great deception that even them, just like remember John the Baptist, Lord, are you he or should we look for another? Don't think that the devil is just some fool. He's been watching man for 6,000 years. He knows every little button to push on you. Amen? And when your flesh gets uncomfortable, when your flesh gets hungry, right, that's when the dam breaks. When you got to watch your kids get stripped away from you and thrown to the hogs, like the Roman Catholics did in the Dark Ages, to the saints that lived at that time, they'd throw them to dogs and they'd throw them to hogs. Everything else. Amen. Don't ever think that a Roman Catholic, I'm talking about the Pope and all the rest of that hierarchy, is anything close to being Christianity. I know you see, Carol's been, every time I see one of these flags around here that are half-mast for a bunch of devils, I'm like, you better, listen, man, we fled that nonsense. That's right, you better believe that. You better understand some history. But you know what? The thing is, the world will receive that. Why? Because he speaks of himself. Amen. All right, so before I get to preaching, let's go back over here. All right, let's go back to Habakkuk chapter 2. So, but because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee because of men's blood and for violence of the land and of city and all that dwell therein. So there's going to be this remnant that comes up that's going to take away the things that the Lord's going to take away from the Antichrist. And we're talking about this right here you see on this board, okay? North, seek an arrow. All right, got to have one of those on a map. We got Jerusalem up here. Jericho, we talked about Rabbah before. That's where Nebuchadnezzar came down to and had to make a decision. Okay, you've got Bozrah, which we're going to talk about here in a moment. Okay, this is the King's Highway right here, okay? Even though no kings have ever been on that highway, not for any significant reason, okay? You wonder why it's called the King's Highway. And then you got the Dead Sea right here, okay, as you can see in blue. You got the River Jordan right here, okay? And then you got the Mediterranean's over here, okay? These things are significant because when the Lord comes back, he's gonna come up a certain route, okay? Now, this remnant is going to be alive. These are the ones that endure unto the end. Those are the ones that are going to be saved. Now, look at Isaiah 10. Look at Isaiah chapter 10. Look at verse 21. Now, Paul quotes this in the New Testament. He quotes it in Romans 9:27. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness, for the Lord of hosts shall make a consumption even determined in the midst of the land. Okay, so this remnant is going to return. Not everybody that goes through that tribulation, I'm talking about Jews as well, some of those are going to fall, a lot of those are going to fall away. Okay, they're going to fall away. So this remnant that's left is going to be the ones that endured unto the end, that did not take the mark. And when Jesus Christ returns, they get to inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. They go into the millennial reign. Okay, that's these folks here. Now, why is this so significant? All this, what I've got up here, look at Isaiah chapter 30. if I could get there myself. Isaiah 30, look at the last verse, verse 33. For Tophet is ordained of old, Tophet is ordained of old, yea, for the king it is prepared. He hath made it deep and large, the pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. Now, who's the king he's talking about? This is the king of fierce countenance. Okay, this is the beast. He's going to be thrown into this right here. This is the lake of fire. Look at Isaiah 34. Okay, we're going to read chapter 34, 1 through 10 here. And this is what takes place at the second advent of Jesus Christ, that fiery law that goes out of his mouth. Okay, it's going to kindle a fire down here in the south of the Dead Sea. Bozrah is right here. It's going to be consumed, and that lake of fire is going to be here throughout the millennial reign of Christ. Okay, and it's going to be kindled by the Lord's mouth. That breath that's coming out of him, that's what he's kindling at his return. Look at 34:1. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all that come forth of it. Notice who it's addressed to. Ye nations, ye people, and the earth. Okay, he's not just talking to Jews here, is he? He's talking to everybody. For the indignation, there's the indignation of the Lord, is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. Do you think that's going to be preached in some kind of modernistic contemporary church? All right. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as a leaf falleth from the vine, and as a falling fig tree. A falling fig from the fig tree. Now, this is Revelation chapter 6. You're going to see the same thing repeated in Revelation chapter 6. We don't have time to run all the references, just for your edification. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edomia, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. Where's Edomia? What is that? Where was Herod from? He was an Edomian. The Greek for what? Edom. Okay? That's what that is. That's south. That's where Bozrah's at. It's in Edom. It's down here. Okay? So you're following along the same, what he's talking about here. Look at here. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It hath made fat with the fatness, and with the blood of the lambs and goats there's a sacrifice, with the fat of the kidneys and of rams. For the Lord hath made a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Edomia. And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. Remember, it's Zion. Jerusalem is a stumbling stone. The world's going to stumble at Jerusalem. You're going to have to pick a side. And that's what the world's doing right now. Is this book not accurate? We're reading Isaiah. This is about 750 B.C., almost 3,000 years ago this thing's written. See what separates this book from any other book? It's a prophecy. Right here, it's going to be fulfilled. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched day or night. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation shall it lie waste, and none shall pass through it forever and ever. Amen? So what's that? That's the lake of fire. All right, now go to Revelation chapter 14. Brother Jerry was joking with me the other day, and he's like, boy, if we're not teaching Revelation, you're sure going to Revelation a lot. Well, yeah, you're going to. That's what I was trying to tell you before. When you go back here to the Old Testaments and these prophets, guess what you're going to be doing? This thing here, you're going to see the same things here in Revelation 14. I just read you in Isaiah 34. Okay? It's not that hard to understand. You just got to compare Scripture with Scripture. Get the context right. Look at Revelation 14:9. Well, look at 14:8. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon has fallen that great city, because she hath made the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image, receive his mark on his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture under the cup of his indignation, just like you read in Isaiah 34. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And then you have a reaping that takes place here in Revelation chapter 14. He's gonna thrust in his sickle. He's going to reap one group, and the other group is, look down here. Look at verse 18. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over the fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. All right, so that's that other group. All right, now go to Joel. Go to Joel chapter 3. So the Lord comes up. We're going to get into the route when I get over in Habakkuk chapter 3. But just for kind of overview, he's going to start over here, Mount Sinai. He's going to come up this direction. He's going to come from the south first, and he's going to kindle that fire in Bozrah, this area right here, by the way. Selah Petra's down here. Okay, that lake of fire is going to be started, and he's going to come up the King's Highway. He's going to come up here. You got Armageddon, Megiddo's up here in the north, okay? But he's going to come over at some point, and he's going to cross that river, just the same place he was baptized, the same place David came over, and he escaped from Absalom, the same place that Moses stood up and looked down here. All right, all these places are significant. The same place Elijah, when that Jordan River departed and he went up from over here, he's going to come across Bethabara, and he's going to come over here, and he's going to stand on the Mount of Olives, and he's going to split that thing in two, and then he's going to come into Jerusalem, and he's going to sit down on the throne of his glory, and then he's going to judge the nations. That's a brief, okay, synopsis of that. Now look at Joel chapter 3. Look at Joel chapter 3. You're going to read the same things. Verse 1. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Now I've showed you this many times in Matthew chapter 25. That Gentile, the way that that Gentile saved in the tribulation is how they treated that Jew. Amen. Okay? You have any question about that? Let's flip to Matthew 25. I try to go over these things multiple times so you see it. Some of you might be new. Look over here. You got a righteous group and you have an unrighteous group. You have sheep nations, you have goat nations. The same thing he's talking about in Joel 3. He's going to judge the nations. All right, look at verse 39. Well, verse 40. Matthew 25, verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. All right. What'd they do? Well, he's going to go in detail down here. You have everlasting punishment. See verse 46. But the righteous into eternal life. All these nations that come and they fight against that Jew, that's their destination. And they have a choice. But he's going to put that stumbling stone right in front of them, which is Jerusalem, which is that Jew. Okay? All right, so that's what's going to take place there. Go back to Joel 3 before I lose my thought. Joel 3, okay, so and notice what he says, scattered among the nations and parted my land. That's why America better keep their hands off of Israel. That's not our land. That's God's land he gave to the Jew. So when the United Nations comes in or the Balfour Declaration or any of those things that have been done in history and have parted that Jewish land like England did and like France, look at them now. They're second-rate countries. They got no power. They do what we tell them to do. Amen. They do. Shut your mouth and do what I tell you. That's exactly what they do. You know why? Because we got all the cards. We got the nukes. They don't. We give them our nukes. All right? You know what they did in 1905? They got away from this book. Their British Board of Missionaries, they got away from the King James, where this thing came from. Now they're a second-rate country. Amen. You know who persecuted that Jew after World War II? When Winston Churchill had those Jews in concentration camps sitting around the beaches of Israel? Or not, yeah, after World War II? Yeah, it's Winston Churchill. Amen. His bust is at the White House. Read your history, folks. Every nation that's come against that Jew, they're going to be punished. I'll show you why. Go to Jeremiah. Look at Jeremiah 50. You better keep your hands off the Jew. The Bible says, unless you be wise in your own conceits. That's Romans 11:25. Now look at over here in Jeremiah chapter 50. Look at the burden is against. It's against Babylon. Right? Look at verse 7. All that found them have devoured them, and their adversaries said, we offend not, because they have sinned against the Lord, the habitation of justice, even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. So all that persecution that the Roman Catholic Church did in the Dark Ages and still continues to do today, they think they're doing God's service. That's right, because they said, well, they sinned against the Father. Well, okay. Remove out of the midst of Babylon and go forth to the land of Chaldeans and be as the goats before the flocks. Remember the sheep nations and goat nations? All right, so you'll read in Revelation 18:4, he says, come out of her, my people. Babylon. For though I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon, assembly of great nations from the north country, and they shall set themselves in array against her, from thence she shall be taken, and their arrows shall be as a mighty expert of man, an expert man, and none shall return in vain. Now, this is historically when Cyrus comes down with Darius, which is Cambyses, okay, he's one of his generals. When he comes down and takes Babylon, all right, they opened the gates. What they did is dried the river, and they went underneath the gates, and there really was not a whole lot of violence other than Belshazzar getting killed. All right, they kind of surrendered. So this is talking about a future event here. All right, so there's going to be an assembly of great nations that comes from the north country. Well, where's promotion come from, folks? Out of the north. Now, see this assembly of great nations? You remember in Revelation chapter 7, you saw those... all those folks that came out of great tribulation had palms in their hands, and they're going to come down, and they're going to be part of the armies of heaven. They're going to come against this great whore at the second advent of Jesus Christ. Look at, and the Chaldeans shall be a spoil, and all that spoil her shall be satisfied. Notice this, verse 11, this is why. Because you were glad, because you rejoiced, O ye destroyers of mine heritage. Because you are grown fat as the heifer at grass, and bellow as your bulls. Your mother shall be sore confounded. She that bare you shall be ashamed. Behold, the hindermost of the nations shall be a wilderness, a dry land, and a desert. Because they took pleasure in persecuting that Jew. See, there's one thing to do something professionally as a professional soldier. All right? You got to go off to war. You got to kill. That's part of it. But the problem is when you start getting into malice and start taking pleasure in hurting other people, that becomes murder. There's a difference, folks. There's a difference. And so when God uses a nation to correct that Jew, you're not to go beyond and start taking matters into your own hands. That's what these nations have done. And that's why when the Lord returns, he's going to say, you touched the apple of my eye. Yeah, I told you to punish him, but I didn't tell you to do that. Amen? Because that Antichrist is going to be self-willed. He's going to do what he wants to do. He's going to persecute that Jew. Amen? Okay, so go back to Joel chapter 3. Look at verse 12. Let the heathen be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. That's what you're reading about in Matthew 25, judgment of the nations. Notice this, put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe, come get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. So you've got two groups. You got two groups. You got the harvest. Okay? And then you've got the other one. The fats that overflow. That's the wicked. Notice the harvest goes up, Revelation 14. There's the rapture. There's the post-tribulation rapture. This one here, the fats that overflow because of their wickedness, that's the same ones you read about in Revelation 14. They get thrown in the winepress of the wrath of God, and what you're going to have is you're going to have blood that comes up to a horse's bridle. It's about this high for about 200 miles. You got that going on up here in Armageddon. You got a 200 million man army that comes against the armies of God, and they get stepped on. And that blood flows. All right, and the reason for that, go back to Habakkuk. Notice he says, Habakkuk 2:8, because of men's blood and for the violence of the land and of the city and of all that dwell therein. Okay, because of the violence of the land, all right, go back to Numbers. Go back to Numbers, I think it's 35. There's a recompense of reward. Look at, dealing with the revenger of blood. Look at Numbers 35, look at verse 31. Moreover, you should take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death. That would help our country out a lot if we had some capital punishment. You shall take no satisfaction for him that has fled to the city and his refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land until the death of the priest. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood, it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. See that? So all these folks, go to Revelation 16. Look at Revelation 16, verse 15. Well, look at verse 4. Did I say 16, 15? I meant 5 or 6. Look at Revelation 16, 4. And a third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. He says, okay. You want to shed the blood of saints? You're going to drink blood. You got drink offerings of blood? Psalm 16:4. All right, you want to turn that water into wine, or that wine into blood? That's what transubstantiation is. This is not to get on Roman Catholics. Listen, this is to educate you and to edify you, to make you understand. Listen, that stuff's straight out of the pit of hell. You're told in three places in the Bible that you're not to drink blood before the law. Right? Before the law, under the law in Leviticus, all right, and under grace. Acts 15:29. So what are you doing having drink offerings of blood? You want to turn that wine into blood? Okay, I'll give you blood to drink. And that's what's going to take place in tribulation. And you're going to shed men's blood for violence? There's a recompense for that. Amen. Okay, so that's what you got taking place here. All right, so that's down here, like I said. The Lord comes up through Bozrah, starts that lake of fire. That fiery law goes out before him, comes up here the King's Highway, comes over, goes back up. Now, we don't exactly know the timing of this thing, but we know there's two routes of the second advent. Like I said, I'll get into that in Habakkuk 3, okay? All right, so we got about 10 minutes, so I want to get you something that's a little less heavy. All right, let's go to Habakkuk 2:9. It's sometimes it's impossible in Habakkuk. I wish I could. Now look at verse 9. Does everybody understand general overview of this thing here? You don't have to be an expert, but I encourage you to go home, run these references yourself. Okay, it's good to have pictures and understand some of the things that are taking place here. It says, woe to him that covereth an evil covetous to his house, that he might set his nest on high, that he might be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul. Okay, so you got somebody here that's trying to feather their nest for the last days. Look at James. Look at James chapter 5 again. Notice the emphasis on rich men. Is it a sin to be rich? No. But in the tribulation, who's going to be the rich ones? the ones that take the mark, because you can't buy, sell, or trade without the mark. All right, look at James 5. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered. You know how many, you notice how many commercials lately are promoting gold and silver? Trying to get you to buy gold and silver? Somebody's feathering their nest. They think that's going to do something for them. And the rust of them shall be witnesses against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped up treasure, notice this, together for the last days. See the context? Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your field, which of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. That's the Lord of hosts. All right, so remember those prayers of the saints, those golden vials over there in Revelation 5, verse 8, and the Revelation 8, 3, those are the prayers of the saints. Those prayers are going up, and those cries are going up into his ears, just like when the Lord heard the cry of the children of Israel under Pharaoh. He had respect unto those people, right? And so that's what's going to be taking place here. He says, look at this, verse 5. Ye lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanton. That's flirtatiousness. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. All right? So he says, when a man smites thee on the cheek, turn your cheek and give him the other also, right? That's what's going to happen. They're going to be led like sheep to the slaughter. Those Jews, they're not going to resist. Amen? So you see that here. Somebody over here is setting his nest on high. Look at Obadiah. Look at Obadiah 1:3. Notice who is against, once again. Obadiah, it's concerning Edom. Here's Edom again. Okay? The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. When does that take place? Revelation chapter 12, Satan's cast down to the ground, right? All right, let's go to another place. I think it's Jeremiah. Yeah, Jeremiah 49. Once again, go back to Jeremiah 49. You'll see the same thing repeated over here. Look at verse 16. Notice it's concerning Edom once again, just like Obadiah. Jeremiah 49:16. Thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and the pride of thine heart, O thou dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill, though thou shouldest make thy nest as an eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, and saith the Lord. Now, that's concerning Edom. Remember who we just talked about, Herod? Remember him? He's an Edomite. Remember what in Acts chapter 12, after James's head's cut off, he goes and makes a great speech? And they said, oh, he speaks as not a man, but as a god. What happens to him? God kills him, and he's eaten up with worms. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. He's a great type of the Antichrist, okay? He takes God's glory and takes it for himself. There's a sin unto death right there. Amen? All right, so where was I going? Where are we at here? Lost my place. All right, we'll go back over here to Habakkuk. All right, so somebody's going to set their nest on high so that they may be delivered from the power of evil. All right, so we understand that's the Antichrist doctrinally, prophetically. All right, look at verse 10. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people and hast sinned against thy soul. All right. Let's go over here to, I'll leave you with this. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 8. Somebody sinned against their soul. Look at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35. Well, look at 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and he shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. All right, so somebody is sinning against their soul here. All right. In Proverbs chapter 8, what you've got You've got the Holy Spirit that's personified. All right? Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 11. Show you something here. Isaiah chapter 11. Verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Who's that? That's right, Jesus Christ. You can say it with confidence. You know who that is. Now look at verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove the quick, or the with equity for the meek of the earth. Blessed are the meek, right? And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. Notice this, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Just like you read in Isaiah 34, that fiery law that goes out before him, who is this? This is the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice the spirits. Now, you've got seven spirits before the throne of God. Am I on? In Revelation chapter 4, right? All right, notice how you have seven spirits that are mentioned, manifestations of the Spirit. Notice number one, the Spirit of the Lord. Who's that? That's the Holy Spirit, right? Okay, so you've got the Spirit of the Lord, number one, but look at back at the verse. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. All right, here's where it gets interesting. Go to Matthew chapter 3. So whoever sins against his spirit sins against his own soul. Look at Matthew 3:16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. All right. So you've got in Proverbs chapter 8, you've got wisdom, you've got the Holy Spirit personified. However, wisdom is referred to as a her. Anybody ever notice that? All right, I'll show you why. Let's go back here to Genesis chapter 8. And then we'll go back to Proverbs 8. Look at Genesis chapter 8:8. You've got a clean bird and you have an unclean bird. Is that raven, verse 7? That's an unclean bird. Look at verse 8. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground, but the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were the face of the whole earth. So you see that right there? See that dove? That's why wisdom, the Holy Spirit over here in Proverbs chapter 8, which I'll show you again, is personified as a female. Although we know the Holy Ghost is male, but you see the personification? You've got to compare Scripture with Scripture, okay? Now, you'll see this here. See all these right here? Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, fear the Lord. Now look at Proverbs chapter 8. Look at verse 1. Spirit of wisdom, doth not wisdom cry? And understanding, put forth her voice. She speaks. Holy Spirit speaks. He's not going to speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears, he's going to speak, right? Notice this right here, spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel. Look over at verse 14. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. You see that word strength? See this right here, counsel and might. When I was looking at this, this is the only one that I couldn't find in the passage. The Hebrew of that thing is Geburah. All right? Same word is translated as strength. There it is. Right there in the passage. I have strength. See the right here, the knowledge, spirit of knowledge. Look down at verse 9. They are plain unto him that understandeth and right to them that find knowledge. There's the spirit of knowledge and then the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Look at verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and every evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. So you see the seven spirits. Look at verse 19. See this? My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Notice that verse 20. I lead in the way of righteousness. That's a leadership of the Holy Spirit. When the Lord is led up into the wilderness, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. See this right here? Now, I don't have time to go through the entire passage in Romans chapter and Proverbs chapter 8, but you see the same spirits, manifestation of the Spirit in Proverbs chapter 8. That's why it's referred to as a woman. Now, I'll go back to the original point. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and they that hate me love death. All right, so you had those folks back there, look at back at Matthew, that accused the Spirit, the Lord, of casting out devils by a devil. What'd they do? They blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Right? All right. Well, if you want to get the definition of that thing, look at Mark 3. They cut off many people when they did this. Look at Mark 3, 29. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said he hath an unclean spirit. They called the Holy Spirit an unclean spirit. When the Lord was in their presence and was casting out devils, he says, neither in this world nor in the world to come, in the millennial reign of Christ, when you do that, you blaspheme the Holy Ghost. You sinneth against your own soul. Those Pharisees, what they did, and those Sadducees, when they were blaspheming the Lord and the Holy Ghost, what they were doing was they were cutting off people, look at Matthew 23, from entering into the kingdom of heaven. Because people follow men. People follow leaders, whether good or bad. And the leaders of that country, they deceive them. Look at Matthew 23. He says, verse 12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For neither go ye in yourselves, neither suffer them to enter therein to go in. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive, notice this, the greater damnation. So the religious leaders that turn people away, they have the greater damnation. Because they're holding the truth in unrighteousness. Look over here. He says, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, ye compass the sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Amen? So these people here, they're cutting off people. If you want to look at the practical application of that thing, you're cutting off people. They're sinning against their own soul. Woe unto them who offend one of these little ones. Right? When you turn a child against the Lord, woe unto you. Amen? That's what the love of many shall wax cold. That's what you're seeing in the last days. Amen? So what you're seeing here, when they sin against the Holy Spirit, they sin against their own soul. They cut off the light. That's why they're walking around. He said, "Ye blind guides." It was cut off. Y'all remember the old school Christmas lights? Back when they had bulbs? Okay, now they're all LED. Forget my drawing. Look like balloons. Boop. All right. What happens when one of these bulbs goes bad? That's right. All of these go dark. Now, this one here continues to get light. But everything after that, after this guy here, goes dark. It's just like that book. When you cut off one light, when you mess with that book in one word, when you miss the cross reference, when you mess the system of cross references that book has, okay, what happens is all this light gets cut off. That's what happens. And that's what happens to these folks here. They stumbled at the stumbling stone. They rejected the light that was given to them, even though they knew better. That's what happens today in Christianity. The lights have been shut out. That's why she's dying on the vine. That's why she has no power, because they don't have the light. He said, I am the light of the world. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. When you cut off the word, you cut off the light. And no further revelation takes place. I could care less about Hebrew and Greek and all that kind of stuff. That's fine. You can use it. I just showed you that. But listen, that's not how you get the Bible. Amen. Scripture with Scripture. Amen? I was studying this thing last night and debating whether or not to go into this thing here. And the Lord showed me that thing over in Genesis, and I about had a fit. Because there's certain things that you'll come across if you read your Bible, and you'll go over them and go and you'll pray over it and say, Lord, I don't understand this. Well, understanding comes from Him, the Spirit of understanding. It doesn't come from man's wisdom. And when the Lord shows something like that to you and confirms it, that's a blessing. It's a blessing, folks, but you've got to be in the book. Okay? All right, so it's 10:46. We're way past time. We're going to stop there at verse 10. All right. Any questions real fast? I know we covered a lot once again. Any questions over the second advent or anything like that? Nothing? When's the rapture? When's the rapture? Don't know. Don't have a clue. Not a date setter. I don't think it'll be long. I don't think it'll be long. There's too many things taking place, but I don't know. Any other questions I can answer? Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Father, Lord God, we just thank you, Lord, for the time together. Thank you for the study of your word. Thank you for giving us your word and preserving it. In this here King James Bible, Lord, we just thank you for those that came before us and shed blood to preserve it and gave up their lives to protect it. Just pray for the services today, Lord. Pray for the singing and the preaching, Lord. Pray for our pastor. Pray that you lift him up one more time, Lord, and just break the bread of life. In Lord Jesus' name we pray, and in Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen.